seems on the surface like, who in the world would ever do that? There must be a reason. And so I spent some time on Wednesday and Friday. And then from Friday, I left there, went home, and then Saturday morning we woke up and spent the day at a bat mitzvah celebration. And so we are really confusing our kids as they're kind of having their minds blown. And it was a really, really interesting week. And somehow we're going to tie in baseball and Islam and bat mitzvahs to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. That is our job today. So let's see how we can do. I want to begin with baseball because it's God's favorite sport. It's probably soccer, but, you know, whatever. So let's talk about the Indians for a minute. Sorry, Kurt, and some of you will just have to hold your nose, Greg. There's no secret that the Indians have a difficulty in attendance. They're trying to get, you know, for whatever reason, their attendance numbers are just really low. But I'm convinced that their marketing strategies are among the best. Their front office folks who work in marketing, I think, are brilliant. And so a couple years ago, they had this whole marketing campaign that was just two words, what if? And if you remember, I totally ripped it off, and we spent the year kind of using that because I thought it was just such a great idea. What if? And it was kind of this stimulate your imagination, you know, and think about what if the Indians weren't there, and what if, you know, and then they went through all this series of ideas. I just thought it was brilliant. Well, they kicked off a new campaign this year that I think is equally brilliant. Two words, and I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. It's just kind of getting steam. But it's two words, only here. And so the whole year, and it may go another year, I don't know, but the whole season, they're going to kind of use that idea and talk about how special of a place that their stadium is. And so for opening day, they had a couple people come back, and they played videos of some of the most memorable moments that happened at Progressive Field, and the players were there. And it's this idea, trying to sell tickets because they struggle so much, that... And Tom Hamilton, when you listen to him on the radio, he always talks about this. And I know, Kurt, this is why you love baseball. Because every day, there's 162 games in a baseball season, but every time you go to a game or you watch a game, you may see something happen that you've never seen happen before. Cameron and Aubrey have the best example. What happened at a game that you went to that you'll never see again? They saw an unassisted triple play, which most of you don't care at all. But they saw it in person, and I'm so jealous because it was like just a normal game, right? I mean, it wasn't any, right? But it's a brilliant marketing campaign, only here. And so, you know, it made me think about what we talked about last week with the church. And I thought, what a brilliant marketing campaign for the church. Like, only here. There are certain things that happen only here. And it made me think about Islam. And this draw that people have to ISIS. What do people really want? They just want loved and accepted and to feel included. Like really, when you really get down to, you know, that's what fuels gang activity, is these people from broken homes and broken families, and they just want to feel like they're included somewhere. They just want to know that somebody's got their back. I mean, after all, isn't that what a family is? It's just to know that mom and dad have got my back. My brothers and sisters have got my back. You don't want to mess with my aunt or my grandma, Margaret Dronsfield, she beat you down. I just want to know that somebody has got my back. And that really is what the church is supposed to be. It's just supposed to be a place where we feel like there's something about only here. Something that happens that's unique and that's different. And we had a great day yesterday, and it was a fascinating ceremony with the bat mitzvah, and we just kind of observed and really respected a lot of their traditions and just beautiful prayers that were written in Hebrew. And we spent all day just at one party to the next because they had something at their house and they had something here. And we had a lot of good conversations with people. And because of the nature of the meeting, we had a lot of good conversations about faith. And I was encouraged. But I came this morning here thinking, but there's just something different when we all get together. Like there's just something more dynamic with our relationships than a lot of the other friends that we have. And it's rooted in our faith. That there's something about only here, and it's not the building, we know that, and it's not the address. It's just something about all the families that come together here and call Alum Creek their family. I just can't help but think that that is a big part of what the book of Thessalonians is about. And so I went through this week, and I didn't get into 2 Thessalonians, but I just kind of focused on 1 Thessalonians. And I want you to hear, just kind of back to back, the language that Paul uses. I think we did a pretty good job last week of setting up the context, that the church at Thessalonica was a church that Paul had visited at, had had these really deep and intimate relationships with, but then had to leave kind of unexpectedly and quickly, and he wasn't able to spend as much time there as he wanted. And it just kind of comes out in the letter. And there are certainly a lot of places just straightforward. He just says what he wants to say to the people. But then there's other ways in just the language that he uses that you can kind of get what he's trying to convey to the people. And so listen as I just kind of quickly read through these from 1 Thessalonians. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he's chosen you. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. You had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toils and hardships. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea. But brothers and sisters, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in our distresses and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Finally, brothers and sisters, we instructed you on how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do more and more. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. Now, brothers and sisters, you see a theme, right? He's calling them brothers and sisters. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you. There's several of those statements that just straightforward let the people know that he cares so deeply about them, that he longs for them in faith. But then there's a lot of it that you just kind of take back, because when you put all those sentences and verses back to back to back, you realize he's trying to get the people to see that it's his family, that you are my people. And even though I'm not able to be with you right now, you are where my heart is. And you are where I long to be. And you are the ones who we mention by name in our prayers. We long to be with you because there's something about the dynamic of the church family which is powerful. There's something about being the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, the family of God. If that is indeed who we are called to be, then there's something different about being the church. Because there's a lot of great civic organizations and social groups that we can be a part of. And sometimes I feel like as a church, we just have to stop and remind ourselves, what is it about our lives and the way that we interact with each other that's different from all those other groups and organizations? And so what I would kind of challenge you this morning to be thinking about that. Think about, what is it that makes us different and our relationships different? I mean, we all have people whose paths we've crossed in the past. And we've kept in touch over Facebook, or we still send notes or letters or Christmas cards to them, or whatever it is. But the people whose paths we cross in the church, for some reason that bond always is dynamic, always lasts. Last week I talked about the friends that we visited in Tennessee and we hadn't seen for 10 years. But because of our unity in Christ, there was just something about that relationship, because it was forged more deeply, it's lasted and it's dominant. Now, as I have been spending time in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and really any of Paul's letters, as I read through them, I just can't help but see us in our situation in the letters. These small groups of churches broken and scattered all over the place, and they're writing letters to each other to encourage each other. They're mobile, the apostles, they're kind of moving from one church to another. And I thought, you know, we kind of get that, because we have people who come through here quite a bit and just pass on through, and we get these relationships with them. And, And I thought, you know, Paul's letter almost sounds like what their letters may sound like if they were to send us a letter back. And so I made some contacts this week, and I said, what if they did send us a message and a little letter that we could read, just in the spirit of Paul writing? And so I have some of these letters that I would like to read to you this morning. And it'll be a little long, but there were a lot of people who had a lot of things to say to us that we have had a relationship with over many, many years. If you've been here for a long time, then you'll probably recognize most of these. If you've only been here for a little while, you recognize probably some. But let me share with you some of our brothers and sisters who we have a dynamic relationship with, who this church has impacted their lives. Thanks for the opportunity to share a few thoughts about Alum Creek, which for me always includes memories of Indian Springs. In the past, I had the opportunity to serve as a minister for churches in Mount Vernon, Toledo, and Huber Heights before coming to the Indian Springs Church in 1985, 30 years ago. My experience there is still difficult to express in words. They were the most accepting group of people I had ever met. It was my perception that the Indian Springs Church was a place of healing for many Christians in the Columbus area. For me, Alum Creek became a place of healing. A group of Christians who can love and accept people who are hurting and looking for support without judgment is rare, and that was my experience when I came to Alum Creek. When I think about Alum Creek, I think about my church home. There are so many people who have made me feel that way. I won't get into listing names. I just want to say that when I remember all of you, my heart is warmed with memories, support, and love. You will always be in my heart because of your amazing gifts of love, support, and faith. God bless all of you. Peace and grace be yours. In him, Ed Kirkpatrick, Bucyrus, Ohio. What we talk about most fondly is how warmly and quickly everyone welcomed us into their fellowship at Alum Creek. It felt like we'd been there for years when it had only been a few weeks. And even these many years, we are still in touch with many of our friends from Ohio. I think you should all be encouraged to have such a kind spirit that people carry it with them decades later. And we pray that whomever the next short-term members are, they feel as welcomed as we did. Jason and Emily Jarvis, Santa Monica, California. Greetings from Dallas, Texas. It's been almost 12 years since we worshiped with you. We have such fond memories of Alum Creek and cherish the church and the friendships we made. Our Christian walk became stronger, and we will never forget you. May the Lord bless and keep you until we meet again. I'm just wondering, did David Estes ever kiss another VBS pig before he left for Tennessee? Whatever happened to the Alum Creek Gun Club that almost got arrested at our house on Big Run Road before small group one Sunday? Euchre, anyone? Thank you, Boomer Sooner, Janice, and Dennis Parton. When Adam sent me a message asking if I'd like to write a few lines about my experience at Alum Creek, I liked the idea very much because I thought it might actually be a good opportunity to thank you guys for all your support during my stay in Ohio. When I arrived to Westerville to participate in a high school exchange program, I was only 16. When I arrived to Westerville, oh, that's the same thing. When I arrived to Westerville, being so far away from home as a teenager, it wasn't easy to adjust to all the changes. American customs, American food, the new rules, the language, and everything else was so different. And soon I was asking myself if I was in over my head. When my host family told me that I had to go to church with them twice a week, I didn't feel like it at all. So far, my church experience had not been too much fun. For me, church symbolized something very stiff, strict, conservative, and frankly, very boring. However, you proved me wrong. Alum Creek turned out to be the best part of my stay. I was accepted to your community right away, and you supported me when I had troubles or felt a little down. At Alum Creek, I met some of my favorite Americans. You were and still are like a family to me. I learned so much and had tons of fun with all the church activities and youth group. Thank you for everything. Anna Peters, Munster, Germany. Our time at Alum Creek was a blessing. We are not only attended church with our personal family, but we also had a wonderful church family. I was blessed to be able to work with the church at work camp, and it was the best experience. I also enjoyed helping out with Vacation Bible School. Let God show you where you will fit, and I promise you will be blessed, and then you will have blessed more than you ever thought you could be. Mike and Mindy Gray, built in Virginia. To our Alum Creek Church family, we thank our God every time for all the time that our family had at Alum Creek. You taught us worship, how to worship joyfully, to never run away from difficult discussions, to laugh often, to love unconditionally. You became a second home to our family and other families who, for various reasons, found themselves leaving their home states to settle in Columbus. Alum Creek Church is a safe harbor, and although we've been gone 10 years, it still feels like home. Our family is better because of our time that we spent with you. We love you and we miss you. Don't grow weary in your journey. Alum Creek has many more chapters to write, and I am excited for the many people who will continue to be blessed with the love of Jesus Christ. David, Susie, DJ Jack, and Johnny Estes, Nashville, Tennessee. Dear Alum Creek family, approximately 12 years ago, our family became part of the Alum Creek Church family. We only had the opportunity to live in Ohio for about 5 years, but our time with Alum Creek has left a special place in our heart. I can't even begin to express the positive impact that each person had on us, and especially for Carson and Amanda. The bonds of friendship they made with Adam and Mary Beth and the youth group has been carried with them into our next home. All the Devos, crazy youth outings, work camp, Super Bowl activities, Winterfest, and mission trips have helped them become the young adults that they are today. Couldn't have asked for a better role model for my kids. Each time I hear the song, The Greatest Commands, it reminds me of my church family. One, because it was sung on our last Sunday with you, but it's also a reminder of the love and support each member provided when someone was in need and how we came together to do what was necessary to assist. What a wonderful blessing to have among members. The love that you have for Christ and the bonds that we've shared have continued to bless me through our move to the South and some unexpected life changes. I appreciated all the cards, prayers, and phone calls of encouragement through that difficult time. I think of y'all often. That's the Southern influence coming out. And may God continue to bless the Alum Creek Church family and Christian Love, Kim Carson, and Amanda Hughes Billingsley, South Haven, Mississippi. Dear Alum Creek, I am so grateful for the time that I was able to spend with all of you. My sisters and I were so blessed to grow up in the church with such an amazing and caring people. We made some great friends and mentors who not only helped us grow as people, but also challenged and helped grow our faith. I will always cherish the experiences we had here. One of the things I learned here at church was that no matter how busy or crazy or daunting life can get, it's important to keep your faith and trust in Him. One of my favorite stories is the one of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. When Peter had faith, he could do the seemingly impossible. However, as soon as he became afraid and lost focus, he started to sink into the water. Even though Peter in that moment had lost his faith, Jesus still came to help him. Thank you to everyone for the impact that you had on my life while I was here. I hope you are all doing well. Samantha Gray, Retcher, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Soon to have a baby, by the way. Dear Alum Creek Church, even though we were only members there for less than a year, our time with the Alum Creek Church was so sweet for us. When we came to you, we were facing personal griefs and struggles. Many days we felt overwhelmed with sadness and confusion, uncertain of where we would end up or how we would get there. We also faced some difficulty and conflict in previous churches in other cities. When we came to you, we were tired, bruised, and sad. And you were such a sweet place of healing and rest for us. You accepted us immediately and brought us into your fold. You provided us with love and support without question. We felt at home there, which was such an immense blessing to us. Thank you for the ways that you loved and supported us during our time in Columbus and beyond. What a gift you were to us. We know that living out Christ's calling to one another can really be hard sometimes. We aren't naive to the struggles that you face and will continue to face as you seek to follow his guidance in the way that you honor the gifts of all the women and men in your congregation as you search for ways to connect to a culture that seems more and more to reject Christianity, and as you work together toward unity and reconciliation across all the lines that seem to divide us. But we know that the Christ-like love you share together will bring you through the challenges you may face. We are confident that the Lord is doing His mighty work through you. Be encouraged that the light you shine is bright and the love that you share makes a significant difference in the lives of the people you encounter, even if it's not for more than a few months. We love you. Jocelyn, Mark, and now Margot and baby Weeb, Lubbock, Texas. I think I forgot to put one in here. I have to look up on my phone. Pardon me for a moment. Oh, it's in here somewhere. Oh, she emailed it. I'll look it up. Well, instead of waiting longer, here's another one. When I think of the Allen Creek Church, I'm reminded of a wonderful church family which prays without ceasing in all situations, whether in trial and praise. When one of our Allen Creek family members needed prayer, it was given. The days when it would surround, when we would surround one another and pray over another family, it was those moments I not only felt closer to the church family, but also to God. In Psalm 68:6, it says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. This verse describes the church family perfectly, as well as we all come from different backgrounds, and yet we act as one family. Another aspect of Allen Creek, which will always stay with me, is how each time we worship with you, we leave feeling loved and uplifted. I would challenge anyone to find another church service or group of singers better than Allen Creek. The selections hit the right notes for the messages presented, and there's true consideration for ensuring the lesson and praise is carried from beginning to end. This type of worship is conducive to strengthening our bonds with one another. There are people I always look forward to coming back and singing with and relish each chance that we get. Each week, take the opportunity to reach into your soul, into the soul of your family here. Take time to know the sound of its heartbeat, to understand what makes each member special, and to encourage one another always. Every person in this church has a story to tell, and everyone deserves to have their own chapter in the Allen Creek Church book. When we come to visit, and we look forward to seeing where this church goes next. Corey, Suzanne, and Cecil Robertson, Brooklyn, Michigan. Forgot to transfer this one over. Members of Allen Creek, it doesn't seem possible that almost 4 years have passed since we moved away. Deciding to leave Columbus was difficult for a number of reasons, not the least of which was moving away from our wonderful church family. In the few short years we were members at Allen Creek, we forged friendships that will last a lifetime. We made other friends while we lived there as well, but it's interesting that those friendships have faded and mostly disappeared. The friendships that we made through our shared faith at Allen Creek have remained and will remain as long as we live. Coincidence? Nope. God knew what He was doing when He pushed us through those doors for the first time. He knew who and what we needed in our lives at that time. You, the members of Allen Creek, will continue to welcome families just like us and make an impact far greater than you might ever realize. Thank you for loving us for those years and beyond. We are so grateful for you. Keep on doing what you do. In Christ's ever-loving, everlasting love, the Rogers, Stuart, Megan, Cam, Noah, Clark, Wisconsin. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Although Laura and I spent only four short months with you all at Allen Creek, We thank God for that great experience. Much of our lives together has been in a state of transition as we've moved often with my career and Jack with Jackson. We've been numerous places, seen a myriad of things. However, nothing felt quite like home, with one exception, our time in Columbus and with the community at the Allen Creek Church. You welcomed us with open arms. You invited us into your homes, accepted us as a part of your family, even though you knew we would only be with you a short time. For that, we will be forever grateful to you. Throughout the writings of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, Paul focuses on the principles of faith, hope, and love. In many respects, Allen Creek is similar to the community to which Paul is writing, a seemingly small yet tight-knit group of firm and steadfast believers. In writing from our home in Philadelphia, Laura and I would like to encourage all of you to hold fast to your beliefs. In a world of constant change and in a society seeking to suppress morality and Christianity, keep hoping, keep encouraging one another, and always keep loving those that walk through your doors on Sunday morning. The love that you gave us has forever changed our lives for the better. Adam and Laura Hall, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If anything, I'd like to have to say thank you for the love and support my family at Allen Creek Church has offered me during my time there. The support that was offered to me and the experiences during my stay helped me become the person I am today. If I had to offer one word of advice to the current congregation, it would be to reach out to those who are different than yourselves and show love to those unlike you as everyone else did to me. Skylar Nesbitt, U.S. Navy, Virginia, soon to be Southern California. And lastly, hello from sunny Los Angeles. Jerks. We pray that you all are well and alive in Christ. We think of you guys often, about your families growing, the struggles and the victories within the church, and just your wonderful community in general. We're so thankful for social media that allows us to stay connected and keep up with everyone's lives. We hope you all know how much a part of our hearts and foundation you are. You stood by us through so many different stages of life. Being newlyweds, having our first child, and then infertility, buying our first house, and then thankfully having more children through joblessness and near poverty. You watched our children grow and change and struggle and blossom. You opened your hearts to all five of us, and for that we will forever be grateful and feel connected to your church body. We pray that you're continuing to nurture your community there, staying rooted in love and acceptance and challenging one another. Don't ever be afraid to disagree or be different from one another. There's power and growth outside your comfort zone. You all have so much history and roots among one another. What a gift that is. Don't ever take that for granted. We encourage you to work in unity, to let your love for Christ shine brightly to all those you encounter. God is good and worthy of shouting it from the rooftops. Even though we're many miles apart now, we do and always will think of you as our extended family. If any of you find yourselves in the LA area, know our door is always open and you have a place to stay. Until our paths cross again, may the Lord give you all peace and safety as you continue on your walk with him. Love, Chris and Shelley, Riley, Gwen, and Vera Martin, Los Angeles, California. Little trip down memory lane, maybe. You see, the church is a place where things happen only here. And while you're there, you don't always realize the impact that you're making. But I think the church is like this boat that's going down the lake, and the lake is crystal clear. And the boat that we're on is leaving a wake behind it. You know, if you get in the shallow water and there's those no-wake zones, sometimes maybe some churches go into those areas and they're not leaving a wake, but our church is leaving a wake. It's leaving an impact. And the places that we go, and for me, and I've been getting these all week, and so it kind of gave me an extra time than you've had to just sit and enjoy the moment and remembering some of these families whose lives that our lives have come into contact with and have forever been impacted by. And it's hard to remember in the midst of every day, in the midst of every Sunday worship time or small group gathering or social event that we have, that somehow all those things are working together in a unique way as the family of God comes together and tries to encourage each other to do good, to be better. Like, we are a part of the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We are a part of the family of God. And those are powerful statements to make about who we are. And so I want this Sunday to do two things for you. First of all, just be encouraged by all of these notes that we've received. I don't think it's that different than what it was like when the church at Thessalonica got this letter from Paul and they stood up and they started reading and everybody had these mixed feelings about all the experience that they had and all the memories. Oh, remember when Paul was here and this happened and Jason is there and it's like, hey, remember when you got arrested and all the crap you had to go through because of Paul? Oh yeah, man, this is... And they just stopped to listen to the words of encouragement that they had gotten. And without exception, every letter that I got was just an encouragement for us to just push through. Because that sometimes is the hardest message to hear. Just keep going. And so, first of all, be encouraged. And the second thing I want to do is allow this Sunday to be a time of reflection on your behalf. May you be encouraged and inspired. May you kind of look inside yourself and ask yourself the question, what is my role within this church body? What is my role within this church dynamic? None of us can do this on our own. That's why we've been brought together. There's much work to be done around us. How can we multiply these letters in the future? How can we continue to expand our influence? It's really on each one of our shoulders. There's nothing I can do on your behalf or you can do on my behalf. We all need to take up our own responsibility, carry our own crosses. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know how to do that. And so what I would encourage you to do this morning is to begin asking yourselves the question, what can I do for the Alum Creek Church? I don't mean to sound like John F. Kennedy here, but what? Nobody gets that. I know you have a few of you get the reference, okay, right? What can you do for this church? What's your role? What's your responsibility? What's your place so that when these letters come in from outside saying, man, this is such a great place, that you can take pride in knowing that I had something to do with that. I had a place in Christ Church influencing those around us. This morning we're going to stand up and sing this song, and Brian's going to kind of lead us, so if you go ahead and stand up. It's interesting, Brian, what song you chose to sing here after I read Kim's letter. I hadn't seen that until this morning.